Before we talk about the Blue Jays, got to talk about D. Gordon, the Miami Marlins leadoff hitter, getting suspended for 80 games last night for testing for a couple of substances. And surprise, surprise, Johnny's got no idea how they got in, has no idea how they got into his system. You know, it's funny because I was looking at this and, you know, the first thing that came to mind is we all know how people automatically assume that the only people who you know, flunk steroid tests or PED tests are big, bulky sluggers. And,
right.
You know, D. Gordon's certainly not a big, bulky slugger. I mean, we know that's not a fact anyhow. But the other thing is this is three positive tests reported in the span of, what, 12 days?
Right.
You know, people are starting to ask questions about that. Now, it's still, I think, as I saw on Twitter today, it's still about, you know, what we're seeing is that 1% of the players so far have failed drug tests. But is this, do you think the fact that we're seeing this early spate of drug tests is going to make this perhaps become more of a talking point during negotiations on a new CBA?
I do. And I think, Jeff, that's certainly a part of the overall conversation here. I mean, one thing you can deduce from this is, again, it's not, to your point, just one type of player who is testing positive right now. It's sort of the spectrum. And you look at it, I mean, D. Gordon, you would have said, if you would have asked me yesterday, he would have probably been on my top 10 list of the people I would have least suspected would ever test positive for PEDs. And it's not just the fact that he's a speedster and that type of a sort of a speed player, not at all a slugger, but I mean, one of the greatest people you'd ever meet in the game, nicest guy, all these things. So you look at it and Jeff, it just further illustrates how we don't know. We don't know necessarily how intentional or unintentional some of these violations are, but the reality is they're still happening. Baseball at this point in time, here we are in 2016, more than a decade after the penalties have started for PEDs, the PEDs are still an issue in this sport. Now, are they as much of an issue as they were 11 years ago? No. But they're still a problem. And I think the question now comes, how much more aggressively does baseball need to be in terms of the testing? Or is the evidence that we're having now of positive tests and suspensions, as in the case of Gordon and Colabello, tell us that baseball's program is doing its job? I mean, the one thing, though, I would say, you go back to the beginning of the season and Taylor Teagarden's suspension, the non-analytical positive, if you will, where that was based on the information gleaned through the Al Jazeera America report, Taylor Teagarden never flunked a test. So I do think on a certain level it's almost true that it is both ways. Number one, the policy is good enough that it's still catching people, but also there are people that are falling through the cracks and understand how to beat the tests and are not getting testing positive, even though they are clearly using PEDs, as in the case of Teagarden. So I do think, guys, there is going to be a movement by MLB to try to continue to modernize and adapt the program to try to stay ahead of the people that are trying to beat it. But the reality is the scientists and the chemists and the people that are creating these steroid cocktails, if you will, I think the evidence to us, guys, suggests that they are still a step ahead of the testers, and that's probably going to continue to be the case even in the new CBA, whatever changes are made in the interim.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because you know, some of the stuff that's turned up, or at least the markers for it, some of it has been not kind of bulko, clear and cream stuff they didn't know anything about, you know, but it's been kind of old school,
right.
Which is odd. But, I guess what I'm wondering is, I think when you catch people, that tells you the system is working. You're not going to catch everyone, just like you're not going to catch everyone in any kind of an enforcement thing. But if you're catching people, then something's working. I wonder if they've tweaked something, though, JP, because you know they wouldn't advertise that if somehow they tweaked the testing regimen a little bit. You know, not to the point where it would have to change what was negotiated with the players, but I always assume if somebody gets caught for something, it's probably not the first time they did it. It's the first time they got caught. You know, that they don't, you probably don't get caught the first time you use a supplement with something in it. You pass a bunch of tests and then you feel kind of relax about it. And I wonder if some guys were, if there was a certain relaxation about certain kinds of things that are floating around. And that maybe a, you know, maybe an adjustment has taken place, and some guys who were quite confident doing what they were doing are suddenly extraordinarily shocked that they're getting caught.
Right. No, that's a very good point, Stephen. And to your point about the substances, I mean, that list is on the wall in every clubhouse. What they test for, I mean, that is known to all players. And also, in D. Gordon's statement, I think it's important to note, he talked about how he unknowingly took this substance, that he quote, ingested something that contained prohibited substances, end quote. He also, though, did say at the end of the statement that, quote, I made a mistake and I accept the consequences. So whether it was a knowing mistake or an unknowing mistake, as D. Gordon said, he acknowledges it was a mistake. And I think that for any player, Stephen, when you look at these supplements, listen, there is a stamp on these things. It says NSF approved. And if there's a stamp on it, that basically says that it's been tested by an independent body that is validated and sort of endorsed by Major League Baseball's testing program, that this is okay to take. NSF approved. It's a seal. You can see it on anything you buy at a GNC or a supplement store. It's on there. And if the seal is on there, it's okay to take. If the seal is not on there, it's not okay to take. And I think whether it's sort of a purposeful, I am taking steroids mentality, or a case of negligence of not making sure that the NSF sticker's on there, to me, they're all violations. And I think D. Gordon's statement acknowledges that in a way that probably we didn't really hear from Colabello in the wake of his positive test. D. Gordon is basically saying, I made a mistake of maybe not being as cognizant as I should have been about the legality of what I was taking, but still, it's a mistake. It's still a violation of the program. D. Gordon accepted that, and I give him credit for that. But I think, Stephen, it's all now in the way that we're viewing things. Is it a mistake of sort of knowingly taking steroids or of not being appropriately vigilant about what you're taking? To me, as much as we ethically want to draw a distinction there, for the purposes of the program,
there's no distinction.
A violation is a violation.
Yeah, no, it's cut and dried. You know, it really, and that's, yeah, that's not, and you that's the way you have to do it, right? You can't, you know, if they start kind of debating about intent and awareness, it's a rabbit hole, right? You can't go down that rabbit hole. They have to do it this way. And you know, Colabello, to his credit, hasn't disputed the test. You know?
Right.
He's not disputing that they found what they found. He is expressing kind of bafflement that it's there, but you know, and you know, no one is, now they do have an appeal process. The appeals have played out, but no one's really attacking the system per se. You know, there's people expressing surprise, but no one's, because you know, again, it's the system, the players collectively bargain.
Right.
They had a stake in this, and it's as fair, and you got a powerful union there. I think it's as fair as any system in sport.
I agree, Stephen. And that's a very good point you make about the fact that the players, we're not hearing right now players in mass getting up and saying, hey, the system is broken, the system is flawed, even those that have been caught, to your point. So I think that, to me, is encouraging from the standpoint of, if anything, the system is going to get tougher, better under the new CBA and not more restrictive, where the players are going to say, no, we have to have fewer tests, or they can't be random, or we can't do the blood test for HGH in spring training, and the additional random ones during the course of the year. So if the players thought the system was unfair, we would be hearing loudly from Tony Clark and others at the union saying, hey, listen, this is wrong. Our players' rights are not being protected. We, in fact, are hearing quite the opposite. Mm. And Ken Rosenthal wrote recently, Stephen, about how there are some players that want potentially even a lifetime ban for a first offense if it's
yep.
proven that there was knowing steroid use of sort of an intentional origin. So I think, if anything, the players are becoming more vigilant about it and are, in fact, supportive of maybe increased testing. I do think baseball is correct, Stephen. When they say this is the toughest program in North American professional sports, I agree with that. I think it is. Is it perfect? Is it catching everyone? No. And I think that's where I think the union, at least the more powerful, I think the veteran players that have a voice here, I think they're actually closer on their philosophical beliefs about this to where MLB is than maybe certainly they were a decade ago. I really think that a lot of people are on the same side of this issue in terms of trying to make the toughest program they can. The one thing I would say is is the notion of the blood test and that aspect of it. If you get into the area of, and this is a reasonable concern, I believe, from the player standpoint, of having to sort of give a blood sample a couple hours before a game starts or right after when you're either dehydrated or trying to get ready to play a major league game, I mean, that maybe is a bit of a concern I'm sensitive to on the player standpoint from a standpoint of just making sure they're able to perform. But I think everything else in terms of the random urine tests, I think the players are very supportive of maybe even more frequent testing to make sure that that these new substances that are being created by the chemists out there are in fact showing up in the tests when they occur.
You know, John, the other thing too that I find really interesting, and this gets to your point, Justin Verlander tweeted out this morning, I can't use the word that he used, but you know, basically it was enough of this PED blank, and you really get the sense that in addition to harsher penalties, what you may start hearing more and more is talk of some sort of mechanism that allows teams to perhaps have a clawback on a player's contract. In other words, D. Gordon signed a 5-year, $50 million contract. D. Gordon fails a drug test. Maybe, I don't know if you void the contract because of that, but there's talk that some teams would like to see some sort of mechanism that it would at least allow them to reopen the contract and maybe, you know, take a year off it or something like that, or get the signing bonus back. I mean, that seems to me to be where this is ultimately going.
It's a great point. And I think, Jeff, that's something that certainly the teams would welcome, and indeed maybe several players would believe that's a fair thing to do. My thought on it is that the notion of the guaranteed contract, that has been so sacrosanct mm-hmm. for the players' union for so long that I don't see Tony Clark sort of unilaterally giving that up, unless he's getting something back that is huge in return. I mean, I think in bargaining, everything obviously is on the table, and I guess you could imagine that being something that maybe the union would be willing to entertain, but boy, Jeff, I think they'd have to get something back that's huge. That really is exactly what they wanted for them to consider doing it. I wouldn't say that it's totally out of the realm of possibility that would happen as you described it, but I think the union would have to get back something that is so huge that the notion of breaking that covenant of the guaranteed contract, which from an ironclad standpoint has been one of the the sort of essential tenets of this entire union for going back decades, the guaranteed contract. I think, Jeff, that would be a I think we can all agree that it would be a fair and just thing to do. But I think the union has been so protective of that as just part of its ethos that I think it would be very hard for Tony Clark to come in his very first negotiation, by the way,
right,
as executive director of the MLBPA, to come up and say, you know what, yes, in my first ever negotiation, I'm willing to give up the guaranteed contract, for even though it's a subset of guys that we would agree is certainly deserving of having that guaranteed contract stripped away from them. I just think even if it's under that pretense, that it would be very, very hard, Jeff, I believe, for Tony Clark to give that up, even for a cheater.
Right.
Even for a cheater.
Well, the players,
very first negotiation,
you may view it as a thin edge of the wedge, too. If you start there, then what if a guy gets injured in a car accident or something like that, in the offseason?
Exactly right.
By the way, should mention that D. Gordon tested positive for exogenous testosterone and clostebol, so two substances.
Okay, let's go ahead. Yeah, let's talk the Blue Jays while we got you here, JP. We had Mark Shapiro on yesterday, right? Was it yesterday? And we talked to him about a variety of topics, including the drug topic. But you know, the Toronto Blue Jays right now, have off to a scuffling start, and aside from the faltering offense, the number one issue would be they have a tough time bridging from what's been a pretty good starting staff to a very good closer in Roberto Osuna, right? That's cost them, I don't know, 5 games, 6 games. It's the difference between a record which you'd be pretty comfortable with right now and one that's set off a little bit of panic. If we're talking to Mark about how do you fix that if Brett Cecil doesn't come around, if Drew Storen doesn't look like Drew Storen. You know, if you had to go outside the organization, because they don't have a lot of organizational options here, JP. If you're doing that on the 1st of May or the middle of May or the 1st of June, you know, given the value of relievers in the baseball economy right now, how would you do that and what would it cost you?
You know, Steven, it's a great question because as we sit here today, I actually just looked this up. The Jays still have in sole possession of first place in a category no one wants to have, which is most losses by your bullpen. They are the bullpen in games decided by the Jays bullpen, 0-7. 0-7 with a 4.03 ERA. So basically, what that tells us is, in this very narrow sample, when the game has been decided by the bullpens late in the game, if it's tied or a lead change late, the Jays have lost every single time. They are 0-7. So that really is alarming. But to your question, at this stage of the season, I remember I've asked this question at different times, and it's come up every time a team struggles in their bullpen early in the season. Can you get a reliever right now? And the answer to that question is almost always the price is exorbitant, and that's just the way that it goes. Now, the one thing that I would say about the Jays that might work in their favor is that the certainly most trades are easiest to make across the league. So you'd acquire a National League player, and the NL, unlike the AL right now is. And I was talking to Bob Melvin about this in Detroit yesterday. Of course, the manager of the A's. There's not really a team that even you conceive as being out of it or should be out of it at this stage. That basically the American League, there was not a single team that began the season saying, you know what, we are totally out of the mix. We are rebuilding. We are not going to be competitive this year. We are out of the mix. Not a single AL team said that. Whereas in the National League, you have basically two rebuilding teams per division almost when you look at it down the line. So could you see a situation where at some point in time a Jeremy Jeffress in Milwaukee or an A.J. Ramos in Miami, those types of closers are available? Sure, but the cost on them, Stephen, is going to be so high that the Jays, when you listen, of course, to the offseason and Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins talking so much about needing to rebuild the farm system depth. So this is the perfect storm. It's an underperforming bullpen at a time of year when there are not a lot of relievers available, and if the relievers are available, the price is exorbitant, and the Jays farm system does not have the prospects they had a year ago, and the overall bend philosophically of Shapiro and Atkins is to hold the prospects they still have. So really, the answer to that, and I know Jays fans don't want to hear it, it's going to be almost impossible, given that set of circumstances, for the Jays to upgrade their bullpen in a meaningful way, beyond like a flyer or a waiver claim on a guy that has had struggles elsewhere. You're just not going to get an ace-level eighth-inning guy or a seventh-inning guy at this stage. You're just not. It's just unless you're going to overpay, and Shapiro and Atkins are not the type of people that overpay, especially for relievers, especially in April. So I think it's just a... It's a very, very difficult circumstance, and frankly, I don't know how they're going to get better from the outside, Stephen, at this stage. They're just going to have to find a way to get better from within, and that is not easy to do.
I mean, I think the only way they can do that possibly is to put Aaron Sanchez in the bullpen, which...
That's a whole other...
Their best starter right now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I mean, he's basically
exactly.
been their best starter.
Yeah, that's a whole other debate.